Guess what day it is?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We find his sentence unusually cruel and heartless and unfair.
Egregiously high 14-year sentence. Jesse Jackson's case, $750,000, and he only gets a year and a half. There is a great disparity of equal justice.
And we'll be here for him as we continue to fight through this legal system that has unfortunately disappointed us over and over again.
He's, to me, a key example of someone who's learned his lesson, and now he wants to regain his freedom so he can better serve his community again and as a repaired, better citizen.
Sorry. Not feeling it. Feel very, very badly for his daughters. But the reason that his daughters are terribly sad and upset is because of their father.
Right.
It's not because of the judge. Their father committed a crime. Crimes. And yesterday the judge was well within his power in saying that he wasn't changing a thing. And by the way, wasn't much of an apology. You know, if you're Rob Blagojevich at that point, you go, I understand why people think I was trying to sell the Senate seat, because I was. And I apologize for it. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to change my ways. You didn't get any of that.
No, it was a little bit of a half-assed apology. It was
That's kind of a legal term.
It was more of a passive-aggressive apology, don't you think?
I just think it sucked.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
One of those apologies.
Sandberg, are you on the 14-year train now?
The 14-year train?
Yeah, you keep it the same.
Yeah, yes. But if I was Patty, I would need to get a boyfriend.
How do you know she doesn't have one?
Oh, that's true. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't see him at the podium.
She doesn't have a
Well, that would have been awkward.
Not that we know of, anyway.
I would just, if 14
By
years...
By the way, does Robert talk to him? The brother?
No, they haven't talked in six years.
Yeah.
They haven't talked in 6 years, but he felt as though he wanted to be in the courtroom to show family support.
Remember, but did Robert appear with Patty or separately?
No, separately. Separately. Here's the thing. Robert Blagojevich was actually charged as part of conspiring, but they ended up dropping the charges because there was a the first time that he did go to trial, and it was a hung jury mistrial.
Well,
so
look,
they
didn't
charge him again.
Patty Blagojevich may or may not move on with her life. The girls are going to have to grow up and do whatever they do with their life, but the little kid killed me, the 13-year-old.
Oh, the little one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you know, Annie.
But I'm going to read now to you, because I know how you like when I read to you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read to you the transcript of a call that came in between Rod and Rom. It's early, 2008. This is a legitimate piece of evidence from the case, in case you forgot. And remember the premise here.
Here's the music.
Remember the premise here. The premise is Rod is calling Rom to sell the Senate seat.
Right.
He has the power to appoint.
This was all taped by the FBI.
Calling the White House.
Yeah.
Rom answers. Yes, it's Rom. Hey, Rom. Yeah, it's Rod. Uh-huh. Yeah, what's going on, Governor? I'm busy. Yeah, well, it's about the Senate appointment. We already gave you the list of people we like. Yeah, I've been looking the list over, interesting names, good people. Hey, how's the transition going? It's going fine, Governor. Are you calling to freaking tell me anything or what? Because, by the way, whenever I say freaking, Rom did not say freaking.
You're using the nicer version of it.
Rod continues. No. I was just wondering if you had all your picks made. I heard something about Daschle for HHS. I'm not going to discuss ongoing deliberations, Gov. You know that. Hey, come on, Rom. Let's not act like I'm a stranger here. Did I call you a stranger? If I thought you were a stranger, you think I'd be interrupting my important freaking business to take this freaking phone call? Hey, you don't have to get curt with me, Rom. This isn't me being curt, Gov. This is me being freaking busy. Now, what did you call about? Well, you know, I'm just feeling you out. Seeing if Valerie Jarrett still wants the Senate seat. Just wondering what kind of priority it is for the president-elect. Actually, it's not a priority. Valerie's had second thoughts about the job. What? She didn't want it anymore? She's having second thoughts, Gov. You want more details, you ask her. Yeah, she won't take my calls. This is my favorite part. Rom says, big freaking surprise. What was that supposed to mean? Oh, I don't know. What's it supposed to mean, Governor? A, you're a freaking crook. B, you're a freaking a-hole. C, all of the above.
He gave choices?
He did.
Okay.
Rod responds, I'm clean, Rom. You know that. You think this freaking Fitzgerald would be twiddling his freaking thumbs if he had S-word to go on? Rom, I got to go, Gov. You appoint who you want. We really don't give an S. Blago, what if I appoint Valerie? What if she takes it? Rom, what do you want me to say? We'd appreciate it, but we're not going to freaking kiss your ring over it. Blago, appreciate it? Come on, this is a Senate seat we're talking about. It's worth a freak of a lot more than appreciation. Rom, you asked for a list. We gave you a freaking list. You want me to make your own list and make your own freaking list. But if you're asking for anything else from me or Barack or Valerie, then you can freaking stop talking right now, Rod. Blago, wait a minute, Rom. Wait just a freaking minute. Who are you to talk to me like that? I freaking made you. This is when Rom's head explodes. You made me? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Warren Beatty in what was the movie where he played the guy that started Las Vegas? And he goes, you stole from me? You stole from me? And he's yelling at him so loud he makes a cut and his head explodes.
Bugsy?
Yeah, Bugsy, that's it. You made me? Tell me you're freaking joking. And then Blago, no, you listen to me, S-Face. You see this list I got? The names mother freaking Obama freaking wants for the Senate? I just ripped it in two. How do you like that? Ooh, Harris just dropped it in the shredder. Harris, yes, sir. Did you drop it in the shredder? Yes, I did. Rom, do you have me on freaking speakerphone? Rod, it's in the shredder, Rom. The list is bye-bye. Rom, hold on a second. You got me on a freaking speakerphone? Who the freak do you think I am? Who are you, Rom? Who are you, Rom? Your S-word. You hear me? Don't come back to Chicago, Rom. It's not your town anymore. Pick up the phone, Rod. I'll put someone in the Senate who will freaking freak you.
Freak you, okay.
I might even put myself in there. How'd you like that, Rom? How are you going to explain that to freaking Barack? Keep in mind, you're talking about the president-elect here.
Right.
I can explain that to freaking Barack every time he's got to call me for my freaking vote. He'd have to take my calls then, wouldn't he? I said, pick up the freaking phone. Blago, I got your attention now, didn't I? And this is Rom, who at this point realizes and he knows throughout that there's a tap on the line. He's got a very strong feeling that the entire thing's being recorded. Rom, shut the freak up and listen to me, Farad. I want you to listen carefully because it's the last time I'm ever going to talk to you. You are freaking dead to me. You've been freaking dead to Barack since 06. Now you're dead to me. You know what that means? That means you're dead to my people in Chicago, daily on down, and all the friends you think you have who aren't going to touch you with a 10-foot freaking pole. Blago, oh, now you're the freaking godfather? Freak you, Rom. No, freak you. Freak you. Freak you. Blago, freak you. Rom, listen
up.
Listen up, A-hole. The S is going to hit the fan. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next month. And this is where you go, well, did Rom throw extra stuff at the FBI to tip the scales here? Listen up. The S word's going to hit the fan. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next month. And when Fitz finally brings down the hammer, it's going to be by my name. It's going to be going through your head. You don't know how, you don't know whys, but it's going to have my fingerprints all over it. Have a great life, Fatso.
Fatso.
And the phone goes dead. Rahm Emanuel, Rod Blagojevich. Love story.
Nice to revisit.
And the point of reading that is not just for the delight of it. The point of reading it is to remind you why he's in jail for 14 years.
I'm going to change.
He was trying to sell the Senate seat to the White House.
After rehearing that and reliving much of yesterday, after having covered it twice before, I'm going to change my answer and say 10 years.
10 years, okay. Got you up to 10. I'll get you up to 14 by the end of the month.
Okay.
It says 6:19. We'll take a break, come back. First, Mary's here with your traffic. You're freaking traffic, Mary!
Man, they sure freak out a lot, don't
they?
Yeah,
they do, don't they?
I feel like I've been listening to an episode of The Sopranos.
That was showing on TNT.
Yes, awesome.
And the worst thing is Patty spoke like that, too.
Yeah, she did.
Wow.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I've always had a good temperament. I certainly don't think it's appropriate to start changing all of a sudden when you've been winning.
Could you imagine if I said that I short-circuited? They would be calling for my execution. It's one thing to make bad decisions. It's another thing to be wacky and make bad decisions. Hillary wants to essentially abolish... the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Look, I don't care how big a Trump supporter you are. Be honest. Just be honest. You know exactly what he was saying. He was absolutely saying in his cute little Trump way, yeah, what, you know, you Second Amendment people. Not if you killed her. How is that acceptable?
It's not.
This is the guy that is going to be in charge of the country. And by the way, again, spend 5 minutes, Don. Spend 5 minutes, DJ, and understand how an amendment is overturned in this country. How an amendment is changed. Nobody's changing the Second Amendment. It's not going to happen. It's not. And for all of those of you who have, who either are or have been, like me, legal gun owners, and are sitting there going, they're going to take my guns, they're going to take their gun. Stop it. Worry about what matters in your life. Nobody's coming to take your gun.
It's complete political rhetoric because...
Nonsense!
5 minutes into the DNC, Hillary Clinton came on stage and said, I do not want to take your guns away.
I don't care if she's telling the truth or lying.
Right.
She can't do it. You have to literally repeal a constitutional amendment and maybe the toughest amendment to repeal that exists in the Constitution. It's not going to happen.
We need some serious gun control legislation. Look at Sandy Hook. We need something.
They're two different conversations.
But I completely agree. They're not one and the same.
So it's a ridiculous thing, and it's a ridiculous thing for him to say. And the Secret Service ought to be crawling up his big fat behind today. Because it's not acceptable. Any citizen in America who started throwing that out publicly, including making it a Facebook post, would be getting a call from the FBI and the Secret Service today.
I agree. Yep, absolutely.
626. We got a lot coming up on the program today. Karen Conti is going to break down some legal stuff, including talking about why the judge decided Blagojevich should stay in for the full 14. In the 7 o'clock hour, Jordan Goodman on your money. And you guys like this segment, so we keep bringing Jordan back, and he's good. Jordan Goodman's going to be on talking about your money, giving you some ideas on how you could deal with student loans and credit cards and mortgages and things like that. And then later on in the program, we've got some rather remarkable information. And I don't know why Dave has been modest about this. Frankly, Dave and John DeCoss. But there is Olympic news this morning that's sort of retro Olympic news that we're going to share with you by way of some very rare highlights that we've come up with.
From a previous Olympics?
1980.
Oh,
I had to dig deep into my archives.
Yeah, and you've been very modest about this.
Into your what? Oh, your archives.
Archives.
Yeah. What do you think he was digging?
I thought he was digging somewhere else.
627. Let's take a break, come back, get your big story shortly, and more of the Steve Cochran Show coming up on 720 WGN. Hey, I swapped a couple of texts last night with our friend Roger German, who spent all those years at the Shedd Aquarium and did such great work there at the Shedd. And I thought he was working at the Shedd through the end of August. He actually left at the end of July.
Yeah, he's doing some consulting, too.
Yeah, and he's now on vacation with his family, but he checked in to say some nice things about some of the ratings news we got. And he's a fabulous guy. We love Roger. And whatever he does next, because he just decided after all these years at the Shedd, it was time to go chase some other things. Mm-hmm. Whatever he does next, he'll be great at it. But I was just want to let you know Roger checked in.
Love Roger.
The best.
Great political mind, too.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
642. Karen Conti knows more about the Supreme Court than anybody we know. She can speak to that and whether or not Rob Blagojevich has another shot. But let's start back here in our town. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Were you surprised that the judge stuck with 14?
No, not at all. This wasn't a reconsideration for him. This was really just a resentencing, and the judge wasn't going to set the precedent that now that Blagojevich has spent 4 years in prison and he's been a model prisoner, which is a good thing, you don't reduce the sentence based upon that. Otherwise, we'd have, half the prison out. So I just didn't think this was the time to get anything shaved off the sentence. And, Judge Zagel's a very tough judge. He's tough on crime. He's one of the toughest guys over in that building. And that didn't surprise me at all.
Speak for a second to the precedent piece of that, because aside from dealing with the case on its merits, judges have to consider a precedent and the precedent they're setting, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. And, I think he has said over and over again that Illinois has been corrupt and we've had numerous politicians and, done bad things. And this was a bad thing. And he wanted to set a precedent. And again, you know, I think that this judge doesn't want everyone in the world to think that just because you have a family who misses you that you get out of prison. And again, it was heartbreaking to see the girls and to see how much they miss their father. But this is what happens when you go to jail. This is the fallout of committing a crime.
Yeah, and again, it's not the judge's fault. It is Rod Blagojevich's fault for committing the crime that put him in prison.
That's right. And as I've always said, as I've watched people in jail for years of my life, it's almost easier for the prisoner to adapt. They have a new life. They have a new routine. They have their friends. They have, you know, even though it's not a life that anyone wants to live, it's a life that they now know, and it's a routine. And it's harder for the family to adapt to the absence of a person. There's a void in their life that they constantly see every day. So, you know, you watch the families, and they just don't cope very well, and you can't really expect them to.
What do you say to people who compare? Because this happens in any high-profile case. The yeah, buts. Yeah, but Jesse Jackson got this. Yeah, but George Ryan got this. What's the answer to that?
Well, it is kind of complicated, and it does look unfair, doesn't it, that Jesse Jackson took all that money and he got a year in jail, and Blagojevich didn't take any money. He didn't actually get any money into his pocket, and he's doing 14 years. But I guess you really need to look at the crime, because Jesse Jackson, when he took that campaign money, he was entitled to take that money, but he just needed to pay taxes on it and report it, and that's what he didn't do, and that was the crime. And failing to report taxes is not as big a crime as bribery and extortion and those types of things. So even though Blagojevich wasn't successful at getting what he wanted, the attempt to do that was more of a crime in the eyes of the law than tax evasion.
And in George Ryan's case, the license for bribes scandal that went on, which tangentially led to the deaths of several children in the accident and fire that took place with the van on the way to Milwaukee, that whole story that shook out. Ryan was never charged with murder because it was a fallout from the way he was running the driver's license offices, right?
The license for bribe scandal.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And you know,
but that's when he was Secretary of State.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think they were ever able to tie the causation. You know, I got a bribe for a license here, and that ended up causing a death. I think that was a little bit of a stretch under the law to prove causation. But remember, George Ryan's sentence was a very long one at the time, and that was kind of just one little incident. Whereas in Blagojevich's case, we had all these counts of different times when he was trying to extort money. There was a Senate seat which ended up getting overturned by the appellate court. But there was, you know, taking money to put people on boards, trying to extort money from a hospital. I mean, there's several different things. So I think all in all, in when you look at the totality of it, Blagojevich's attempts were more severe than any of the politicians that we're talking about.
Any chance he goes back to try another appeal? And what is the appeal? Does he have to go to the Supreme Court?
He first goes to the Seventh Circuit, which is the court underneath the Supreme Court. But the Seventh Circuit has already said, you know what, guess what, you know, that sentence you got was probably even a little low. The judge could have hit you for more, and I don't think the Seventh Circuit is going to do anything. So they're going to pro forma, just, you know, file that appeal. It'll get denied. And then they go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court doesn't have to take cases, as you all know. They're a court of discretion, meaning they only take a few cases. And if they think this is a case that they want to decide because they think it's important, they might take it on. But again, when the appellate court says this is overwhelming evidence, we see the guilt, we see the sentence is appropriate, I just think the Supreme Court is probably not going to take it.
Kevin, Karen, I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a second. And it's not that I don't think Rod Blagojevich is guilty. I do. But how is it that saying something with Rod Blagojevich gives you a Miriam Santos even, too, with a former city treasurer who spent 4 years in prison? Why is it that saying something gives you a stronger sentence than actually doing it, like Jesse Jackson, in this case?
Yeah, I'm with you, Andrea. I see what you're saying. And Blagojevich was a talker. I mean, he talked. It was almost compulsive with him. But I guess, you know, when you look at intent and you look at what you're intending to do, your words are really the evidence of that. And he did take some actions to do what he was doing to try to sell the Senate seat. You know, trying to sell the Senate seat or trying to extort money, what is the evidence going to be of that? It's going to be your words. It's going to be, hey, give me some money and I'll do this. That's, you know, when you're a governor, that's a crime. So even though it didn't happen, that's, you know, it's like saying when you attempt to murder someone, it's not a crime until you murder them. It's the attempt to do it is bad as the crime.
That's a great point.
Remember, he shook down a children's hospital, too. But, you know, he's a swell guy. Let's see, traffic. What?
You know, I guess I just want to say, too, the difference between horse trading, the difference between putting money in your campaign coffers and, you know, wanting to get access to a politician, those lines are blurry. I definitely agree with some of the defense lawyers' comments, and I do think we need some clarification on the law, but I really do think Blagojevich in this case did step over the line.
And judges are human beings, and being a jerk in the pre-sentencing phase leading up to the sentence is not going to help you, right? When the judge has latitude and you're a jerk?
Oh, and doing reality shows and all that stuff. No, that did not help. And his lawyers, you know, I think tried to get him to stop, and he just was unstoppable. But, you know, he's humbled now. He's going to serve out his time unless there's a pardon or a commutation of sentence by Barack Obama. And it's a sad situation for his family.
It's 6:50. I want to ask you about Paul O'Neill and this police shooting and the fleeing felon rule. Hold on a second. .655 coming up. Amazing archival highlights from the 1980 Moscow Olympics. We're in the midst of all of this. And we revealed Dave Ennett's involvement in the 80 games, along with what really is shocking, a surprise involvement of an athlete. Before we get to that, let me go back to Karen Conti here. Paul O'Neill is the 18-year-old who stole a car in Bolingbrook, apparently, and then led police on a high-speed chase. Shots fired. Paul O'Neill ends up dead. And the fallout continues. Those police officers, Andrea, correct me if I'm wrong, have been relieved of their police powers pending a conclusion of the investigation.
That is correct.
All right. So, Karen, pick this up. What is the fleeing felon rule, and does it apply in Illinois?
Well, what you have to do is you have to look at the statute. And I always pull it out and I highlight it so you can look at exactly what needs to be proven. And there's different rules for civilians versus peace officers, which is what a policeman is. So the use of deadly force by a policeman is only allowed when the cop reasonably believes it's necessary to prevent death or great bodily harm. That's the first part of it. So I would say the police officers don't qualify for that because at the time they were chasing him. They were not in imminent bodily harm, fear of bodily harm, because he was no longer a threat to them personally. He was running, right?
He was driving away, right.
He was driving a while, but at the time that he was shot, he was actually on foot, and he wasn't even.
Yeah, but I don't know if we've determined that, have we? We haven't determined if he was shot while the shots were fired at the car, or if he was shot while he was running. I don't know that we know that, do we?
No, you're right, and I guess I would just assume that
if he was in the car,
he couldn't. You know, if he was shot in the back, he probably wouldn't get out and run. But you're right. We still don't know that. The second part of the law says that yes, you can use deadly force if it's necessary to make an arrest or prevent an escape. That's the first part, which, of course, that's what they're going to argue. But you also then have to show that the person committed a forcible felony, which involves the infliction of bodily harm. So if you can make you can use deadly force to stop someone from fleeing, but that person would have had to have committed a forcible felony involving bodily harm. So we go back to what did this kid do? Stealing a car is not a forcible felony, but using the car to crash into police officers, and which was certainly a threat to the public. If you look at that video, I would argue.
He tried to run the cops down at the end, yeah.
I mean, he was using a very dangerous instrumentality. Now, he didn't have a gun, but that car was a deadly weapon, really. I mean, I think that's the argument that's going to be made. So I think this case is very different than the Laquan case, and I think there's going to be a good argument that they were justified in using now, you know, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. Maybe they should have used other means before they did it. But from a legal standpoint, they were entitled to use deadly force, is my opinion.
All right. Well, and that's what we're looking for, a legal opinion. And you can get legal help from Karen Conti by calling your office.
You can call me at 312-332-7800. Or you can email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Man, you sauce up the Noonan Show on Sunday nights. What time are you on?
I'm on from 8 to 9 answering questions and talking about the law.
All right, Karen, thanks.
All right, have a good week.
6:58, back after this on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Money, 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 coming up with Jordan Goodman. In about 10 minutes, Jordan Goodman will help solve your problems financially. You got love issues, physical ailments. You got to see somebody else. 312-917-2200 is the number. Keep it handy and, you know, be ready to write or type and have your device handy. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Because Jordan will give you a lot of websites and information you need as well. Let's get an update on the independent map amendment with Dennis Fitzsimons, former head of this company, who has devoted a tremendous amount of personal time to helping craft the independent map amendment. And we always start, Dennis, and good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
We always start with an explanation of what the independent map is and why it's important, if you would.
Sure. Well, the independent map amendment would give to... would create an independent commission that would draw the state legislative maps. We have a situation now where the legislators actually draw their own maps, and this created a situation where in 2014 and coming this November, over 60% of state legislative races will have only one candidate. So it denies voters a choice. We've got issues certainly that the state is dealing with. Voters are not happy, and they go to the polls, and they only have one candidate to vote for. So the independent map amendment would create this independent, bipartisan, or nonpartisan commission to draw the maps in a transparent and fair manner. And that's what we've been working on for the last 18 months.
And you can still do your part by going to mapamendment.org, yes?
That is correct. For more information about our effort on this and to make a donation, because our legal expenses have been significant, it would be really helpful.
Mike Madigan's, this is my words, not yours, Mike Madigan's attorneys and attorney friends have been heavily involved in trying to stop this because those who have the power would like to keep the power. And where are we at with the court process here?
Well, back at the end of July, a circuit court, a Cook County Circuit Court judge, ruled that our amendment was unconstitutional. 2 days later, the Supreme Court, Illinois Supreme Court, agreed to hear our appeal on an expedited basis. So just at the end of the day yesterday, we submitted our final brief on why the court should overrule the Cook County Circuit Court. And basically, our argument is this, that, you know, it's the ruling was contrary to both the intent of the drafters of the 1970 Illinois Constitution and the plain language of the Constitution, which said that voters should be allowed to propose amendments. And if this ruling is not reversed, it would basically or effectively eliminate the constitutional right conferred on the people of Illinois by the 1970 Constitution to bypass inherently conflicted legislators and directly proposed a needed redistricting reform. And this was an area that the framers of the Constitution said should specifically be available for this citizen-initiated amendment. So we are really hoping that the Supreme Court recognize that the circuit court ruling effectively eliminates the possibility of doing this.
So if you believe in what this country was founded on and the idea that there ought to be fair elections held, because that's a core tenet of democracy, all we're asking for is the architecture for a fair election to be held. And the architecture meaning that you would have competing candidates in each legislative race, which is what the outcome of the independent map amendment, successful outcome, would be. So for people that kind of glaze over at some of the technical jargon, there's no reason to glaze over. All we need you to do is support it financially if you can, but certainly by spreading the word in every possible way. And now we'll wait for a couple of weeks here to get a court ruling, and I guess there's no way to tell which way that might go, huh?
It's really impossible to predict how the court will rule, but we did have a friend of the court brief submitted, signed by two dozen organizations, civic and community organizations, ranging from the Illinois Chamber of Commerce to the Southside NAACP to Change Illinois to Common Cause Illinois and many, many others, the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So we've had bipartisan support for this amendment. Every newspaper has editorialized multiple times in support of the amendment. So people from all over the political spectrum are behind this, and the only ones against it are the entrenched political interests. So this is really important for, you know, if people want to have choices at the polls, to register their unhappiness with the state of the state of the state. Yeah, that's right. So, look, we're hopeful that the Supreme Court is going to view the substance of our arguments versus what we think are somewhat superficial arguments from the other side, and really give the voters the power as opposed to entrenched legislators.
Well, you've done a fine job yourself. You're a modest guy, but you've done a fine job yourself of leading this effort, and you're always welcome here because we certainly want to see this happen. I've supported it financially and will continue to support it by allowing this big mouth to help big mouth this. It's too important. It's too important not to pay attention to and too important not to push. So thank you for your time, as always.
Terrific, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Dennis Fitzsimons, former head of the Tribune Company, and has multiple business interests and plenty of things to do. But he cares about this city, he cares about this state, he cares about you, and he cares about me, and he wants to see this. And all it is allowing an independent commission to be able to redraw the map instead of leaving the power with the Democrats or the Republicans to do it, and setting it up so the same people stay in power.
An independent, nonpartisan committee,
yeah,
too.
It's all we're asking
thing.
For.
You know, so many people were saying, how come this hasn't been in effect in the past? A lot of people don't know that.
No, they don't know. And that's one of the good things about Simon's going around and talking about as much as he is.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
We're running out of gold. What's up with that? Jordan Goodman joins us. MoneyAnswers.com is a one-stop resource for, wait for it, money answers. And all of the various Jordan Goodman resources are right there. But pay attention. You'll write things down. You'll pop them into your phone, whatever the case may be. Do it safely, kids, and save money. Good morning, Jordan.
Great to be with you again, Steve.
Why are we running out of gold?
Because there's so much demand for it, and it's hard to find it these days. So that's why gold price has been going up. All the discomfort and crazy things going on around the world, all these terrorist things, Brexit, made people just very nervous. So that's why I'm putting money into gold.
Did you, or would you at this point, recommend buying gold if you can?
A little bit. I wouldn't go too crazy. I mean, it sits there. I guess it makes you feel better, but it doesn't give you any current income. It's certainly gone up a lot. I mean, it was like $1,100 a year ago. Now it's $1,350, something like that. So it's definitely had a good move here. But in general, I think gold does well when there's inflation. If anything, the big problem today is deflation, prices falling for things. I mean, you've seen oil, which got up to about 50, down to about 42, 43, something like that. I could go lower. So, I mean, people are going to it for safety, but not for income.
So a stunning statistic yesterday that public pensions in this country are underfunded by $8 trillion.
Yeah, and Illinois is half of that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We have most of it. $8 trillion, and yet right. The greater threat to this country has got to be student loans, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's something that people own individually. I don't think – well, pensions do go under. For example, when Detroit went bankrupt, the pensioners of Detroit got 10 cents on the dollar. That's happening in Puerto Rico now as well. So it does hit individuals eventually when things go under. But student loans is huge. You're right. We're about $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. The graduation season we just had added about $100 billion. We're about to enroll a whole new group of debtors, I guess you might call them students, other people might call them, that's going to be piling on the student loan debt. You're right. It is a big problem for people.
I may be naive, but I believe if you borrow money, you should pay it back.
Where did you get this idea, Steve?
Yeah,
it's unconstitutional. Yes.
Obviously, if you run into a situation where you have difficulties doing that, there are resources to help
there
you
are.
Do
so,
that and do that in a more comfortable way for you, like?
Two things you can do. Consolidate your student loan debt. You've got a whole bunch of different loans, federal loans at different rates. Consolidate them into one. A website for that, consolidatecollege.com. They've also got a phone number, 855-305-1878. And the other thing you can do is refinance your student loans. If you've got a whole bunch of them, both private and federal, combine them into one at roughly a 2% interest rate at a place called Social Finance. And the website for that, SoFi.com/moneyanswers. They know it's me. You get $100 off your first payment that way.
Oh, good, good.
So, yes, you can. You don't get rid of them, but hopefully you can pay them off faster.
And this is a huge problem that's going to continue to grow until we get a handle on it. And just so everybody understands, candidate Clinton jumping up and taking the Bernie Sanders line
of
free tuition for everybody isn't helping.
That's true. I don't. She has said that, but she's not said how that would happen. Basically, Sanders said just, you know, have no tuition for anybody and they'll come out of school debt-free, which is wonderful. But who's going to pay for all the infrastructure of these schools?
Well, and again, there's no direct line you can make now that a college education is going to get you a job.
Right. And there's a lot of people with huge amounts of, and believe me, in your audience, I mean, you know, they email me at moneyanswers.com and I talk to them and I help them. You have some real whoppers in your audience, Steve, I must say. I mean, one guy I talked to, actually, in your audience, he was working at Walmart, I think making $10 an hour.
Right.
And he had $150,000 in student loan debt. He was very well educated, but he wasn't going to pay it back anytime soon.
You know, there are other things you can do between the ages of 18 and 22 other than go to college.
Yeah, in fact, there's a lot of jobs that are, they can't find people to meet the jobs. There's about 5 million jobs in this country that they cannot find the people that meet the criteria. Technical jobs, in many cases working with your hands, plumbing, electricians, machine tool and die kind of people. A lot of those people are retiring, and younger people aren't going into those fields as much, and so there's a tremendous shortage of plumbers and electricians out there.
Don't you think it's how we frame it up in our heads? I mean, for people that think college is a birthright and it's a step that you must take, well, that's one way of looking at it. But there's another way of looking at it, which I think was the original intent of college, which is higher education is the way to lead to a particular career or a career path. It's not a lever into growing up and being an adult.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you go on a college campus, you can see that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are doing college today online, which makes an awful lot of sense. There are these online universities, like Udacity is one of them. Coursera is another one. We can get great courses. You have to be self-motivated. A lot of people start and don't actually end up finishing those courses because they're not somebody watching over them, taking grades and all. But when you go in person, you get the same content, I guess you might say. But you get much more beer on campuses, I must say.
Yeah, that is true. And I will tell you this, because my daughter, Amy, just got her master's largely online. And schools that have these online setups, which are great and they're convenient. Yeah. However, there has to be a tuition adjustment. When you don't have the hard cost that you have of an
which
on-campus
is not happening.
Situation.
You pay the same amount online as in person.
It's outrageous. So you want it to... So if either one of these candidates want to get their heads out of their butts and stop talking about the things that they don't actually have real applications, you want to address college costs? Start with addressing that.
Exactly. That is totally outrageous that they're getting none of the infrastructure, the housing, all that kind of stuff, class hours, but they charge the same rate online as if you go in person. Correct.
I'm gonna tell you colleges, you university presidents, you people, I want you to know Jordan and I are watching you. We're watching you.
Shape up.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk credit cards. We'll talk other things that we go through when Jordan's on. And you guys always ask. You can email him. He does answer at moneyanswers.com. So stick around. More Jordan Goodman on the way in a moment. And the big story is next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
$7.41, how's your credit card? How's your real estate? How's your mortgage? Jordan Goodman's with us, moneyanswers.com. That's your website. That's what you go to learn stuff and to save money and to make more money. Jordan Goodman's helped me do that for years. All right, so Jordan, moneyanswers.com for all things related to you. But
yes.
Let's go to the credit card question.
Sure.
How are we doing on credit card debt? We've learned our lesson, right? We're not abusing this. Oh, we haven't.
We just recently went over $1 trillion in credit card debt for the first time ever. About 40% of people revolve their balances, don't pay it off in full every month. 60% pay it off in full. Average interest rate's 13%. A lot of people way, way higher than that. 25, 30% ridiculous kind of rates and penalty fees and all those kind of things. So some specific advice there. If you have high-interest credit cards, you don't have to put up with it anymore. A website that gets you better deals is creditcardperks, P-E-R-K-S.com. All the best deals. Concentrate your spending in one place where you're going to get the best possible rewards or frequent flyer miles or rebates or whatever it may be. If you're really piled under and you don't want more credit cards to pay off the existing ones, go to a nonprofit credit counseling place. They can get you rates of like 6, 7%, something like that. Consolidate it all into one payment. You pay it off in whatever, 2, 3 years, depending on what the numbers look like. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. They've helped a lot of GM listeners over the years. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. They're a nonprofit. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've already got deals with Chase and Bank of America and Citibank and Wells Fargo to get you deals you can't get on your own.
And the basic mistakes people make with credit cards is what? Paying them off late?
Well, that's bad because that hurts your credit score, and then you have late fees. Being in the wrong credit cards, usually what they'll do is they'll take whatever shows up in the mail. Whatever shows up in the mail is the worst deal, okay? Those are the ones that have the highest rates, the highest fees, the worst rewards, the shortest grace periods. So do a little bit of shopping. I mean, creditcardperks.com is a way to do a shopping objectively to find the best deal for yourself. And then concentrating your spending. People have 10 different cards, and they're spending on all 10. And by the time they get a frequent flyer reward, they've run out. they expire. So
right.
Concentrate your spending on something that you want, and then use those rewards to get yourself free stuff or rebates, whatever it may be.
Should you have a bunch of credit cards? Like, is there a magic number?
Well, I mean, I think if you had 4, that would be fine. You do want to have more than one. I mean, say you have 1 MasterCard, 1 Visa, 1 American Express, 1 Discover, you know, something like that. Kind of mix it up a little bit. If you only have 1, it doesn't help your credit scores if you have 4 that you're using responsibly over time. The most important thing is to pay on time. That's about 35% of your credit score is paying on time. And then the mix of credit is also, and not only credit cards, they want you to have mortgage and car loans, a mix of different credit makes your credit score go up. And by the way, if you have a lot of errors in your credit report, which people do all the time, a website that can help you there is tourdecredit.com, TOURDECredit.com. When was the last time you looked at your credit report, Steve?
Well, I actually get my credit report sent to me so I can check it at any time.
And it's always been perfect, right?
No, not quite. Not until I met a young man named Jordan Goodman who is building a financial future for me.
The errors on there are unbelievable. And whenever you're confused with somebody, it's not Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, okay? It's some guy who's never pays his bills on time. That's who you're always confused with. So you got to get that stuff off your report.
Jordan, I have friends who say, I haven't balanced my checkbook in 3 years. And then I have friends who every time they make a transaction, I say checkbook loosely, because I know people go online now.
They don't pay attention to their financials.
Yeah, and so obviously... And you always say, look at that, not daily, right? Maybe
not daily,
once a week.
Stay on top of it. On top of it. Make sure there's no strange charges out there. I mean, I use LifeLock as well, which is a good idea just in case some crazy thing happens. About 2 weeks ago, somebody was trying to take $10,000 out of an ATM in Las Vegas at 4 in the morning using my credit card number.
And why were you in Vegas?
Yeah.
I was not.
Oh.
It was somebody else, but LifeLock emailed me and said, just want to make sure you want to take out, $10,000 at this ATM at the, I think it was the Mirage or something. I said, no, that was not me.
You said I was at the Wynn.
That's right.
So you were able to shut it down.
Absolutely. But yeah. You, who would know these kind of things? They got my number somehow. I have no idea how. And they just went and used it. So there's a tremendous amount of ID theft and this kind of thing is going on all the time.
We always, we'll get to houses and real estate in a second, but let's talk car loans quickly here for a
second. Sure.
Car loans are something people just accept. You go and you go, okay, I'm buying a car. I'm getting a car. Oh, here's the loan. But you can shop that and you can refi that?
You can refi your car loan. People don't realize that. Yeah. There's a website, MyLoanGen, G-E-N, MyLoanGen.com. You put in your current the amount you owe on your car loan, your interest rate, how much you have left, and then you can extend the maturity to a longer date to get your car payment down. So say a lot of people bought cars the last few years here, and their payments are higher than they can really afford. So say your payment's $500 a month and you can't really afford it. If you move the car loan from 3 years out to 6 years, that $500 payment might go down to $300 or something like that and make it more affordable. Because if you can't afford your car loan, you know who's going to come and get you, the hook,
yep,
right?
Yep.
This is a great business to go into, actually, the kind of repossession business. Steve, I think we should do that together. We could be repo men.
That'd be great.
It's very exciting, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's also a little dangerous, but heck, I'm up for a good time.
So, I mean, a lot of people bought cars they can't really afford. So MyLoanGen.com is a way to, for free, refinance your car loan to a more affordable level.
Jordan, the question from the texter, can you stop credit card offers from showing up in the mail?
Yes. Direct Marketing Association, DMA, keeps lists of, and supposedly you can get off the list. So I think it's called DMA.org, something like Direct Marketing Association. And you can get on, it's like you get on, in theory, get on the do not call list, although that doesn't seem to work very well. You can get on the do not send list from the Direct Marketing Association.
Steve Cochran Show continues, 752, Jordan Goodman's here. All right, so mortgages.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
All-time record lows. I mean, it's the lowest we've ever seen. You can get a 30-year fixed rate about 3.5%, 15-year fixed at about 2.5%. So to refinance, if your existing mortgage is maybe 4% or higher, it makes sense to take a look at refinancing. A website for that, youcanrefi.com, youcanrefi.com. You can either do it with closing costs or without. If you do it with closing costs, you get a lower rate. If you do it without closing costs, they, in effect, put the closing costs into the rate. So I'd rather pay the closing costs, get it over with, get the lowest possible rate.
How do I attack debt? This is a texture now. How do I attack debt to immediately help my credit score? It's a kind of an a la carte situation, but what do you recommend?
In other words, he wants to pay his debt off more. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, just attack debt, knock the debt down, fix the credit score as fast as possible.
Well, spend less and earn more. What can you do?
How do you do it in the real world?
I mean, you've got to get your income up one way or the other, and that's what you have to put that money towards the debt. Another way to get your income up is to have your investments earn more than zero at the bank. You know, when you're sitting there earning zero at a CD or money market fund, it's going to stay that way as far as the eye can see. There's no way the Fed's going to raise rates this year. I mean, I've mentioned before, it's been very popular with your listeners. I like these commercial real estate income funds because that's a way of earning 8%. So there's a way of increasing your income. No fees. You do it minimum 18 months. They're very high-quality commercial real estate projects. And actually, when they sell the projects, you get a piece of the profits. You get another 2-3% at the end. But meanwhile, you're getting 8%, which you can get in an IRA or you can get it outside an IRA. A lot better than a CD and a money market fund. The website for that, again, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. Tons of people were asking me about that one last time.
Bet. And one more. Jordan, we inherited a piece of property a number of years ago, now want to sell it. Can we reinvest the proceeds and avoid tax?
Yes, it's what's called a 1031 exchange, and you have to do what's called a like-kind exchange. So if you sell one property and put the proceeds into another one that's similar, say it's a rental house or something like that, then you're delaying the tax. You're not getting rid of it, but you're moving it out into the future. So it has to be kind of a similar property somewhere in the country. A real estate lawyer can tell you how to do that, or real estate agents, a 1031 exchange.
But that's a good start. Jordan Goodman's at moneyanswers.com. He will answer your emails. He'll come to your house, wash your windows. He will do whatever it takes
absolutely
to make your life better. Moneyanswers.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
755. Earlier today, Andrea, I found out some surprising and really terrific news about the Olympics.
Oh.
It turns out Dave Ennett was, as a young broadcaster, at the 1980 Moscow Games and has never told us.
You're really, Dave, that's such an honor to cover that.
It was a big deal for me. It was
when you're a kid.
I was just starting out. I was just out of school. It was a great opportunity, a chance to cover the Olympics.
Must have been thrilling.
It was great. I mean, can you imagine
as
a young American reporter going to Moscow?
In Russia.
With all the controversy that was going on then? Now, you might remember that Olympics, because of Moscow invading Afghanistan, we decided not to go to those games.
Correct, yeah.
So, but one single American competed in those games.
I was not aware of that.
John DeCosse. John, I didn't even know you were athletic back then.
You know, it's amazing. All the things that we've talked about over the years, and we've never brought this up. You and I have never approached this.
We have highlights. We have highlights. We have archival footage, if you will. So please watch your radio and listen carefully. What are we going to hear first, Dave? Is this swimming?
I believe.
Yeah, it's swimming.
Is this swimming?
Yeah.
And I just want to caution everybody. I mean, these are old tapes, so the quality is not.
Might not be there.
Really good.
All right, roll it.
Now to the Olympic pool here in Moscow. John DeCosse, said to be the greatest American Olympic swimmer since Mark Spitz. Not that Mark Spitz. DeCosse in the pool in the 100-meter freestyle. This is his best event, his only event. And wait, what's that around DeCosse? It's a big plastic swan. wrapped around his midsection. He's in lane three and ready to challenge the Russian champion. We're ready for the start. And they're off. And wait, DeCoss is just flailing in the water. He's not going anywhere. John the other way. DeCoss struggling. He's lost the plastic swan.
You saw!
And now the lifeguard dives in, and he's going to make a rescue. The first swimming rescue in Olympic history. And it's David Hasselhoff who pulls DeCoss out of the water.
Well, I got to tell you, David Hasselhoff was a young David Hasselhoff at that age. The idea that he'd be in Moscow and able to, it was incredible. Did you get a chance to talk to John after that event?
I did. And I was also able somehow to find the interview.
We have that. Okay, roll that.
John, you really seem to have trouble in the water.
I got out of everything that I did, this was the one I was probably most nervous about. I can't swim, never could swim. I was a little nervous on the way out here. I took a ship, whaler, out of San Francisco Bay, came around the Cape of Good Hope. I was worried that anything would happen because I'm not a water guy, but I had a chance, and they said it was okay if I wore an inflatable, and I did it, man.
But you did get to meet the Hoff.
I got to meet the Hoff, which blew me away. This is unbelievable. Right now, I'm a huge Dallas fan. Who shot JR? Everybody say who shot JR, and I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is I got in the water. I almost drowned, though.
That is incredible.
Wow. It was a different time.
It was a different time, and that's great historic footage. Later in the show, I understand we have a couple other clips.
We do gymnastics. Let's see, a pole vault.
Wow.
And a surprise bonus.
A bonus. Oh,
this yes. is historic.
One you're really going to enjoy.
This should be in the Bruce Dumont needs to put this. Bevan, the only American the only American broadcaster
honestly,
to get the interview.
I've forgotten some of this.
I got to say, swimming didn't go well.
And the JR reference to the Dallas, it brings back memories of that period of time.
Oh, it does. Well, that's because it's authentic footage.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Back in a moment with more. This is 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9, and then a special guest. We're going to put Mike Toomey on to blatantly plug our Friday night show in a second. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning to you. Mike's very excited about his appearance.
It's a big break for him.
He's like a tuxedo on.
Speaking of stand-up, this is a stunner to me. The Star Plaza Theater is closing?
The hotel and the theater is closing. They're demolishing it.
What, they sold the real estate, or what happened?
Tearing it down to the ground. No, the company that owns it, operates it, wanted to update it. There really hasn't been any major renovation on the hotel and the theater area since it opened in 1979. So they're going to completely tear down the entire complex and rebuild it only as a hotel. The theater is not going to be part of the new complex.
How about that? Because that place has been a great draw for acts, especially folks from the South Side didn't want to drive to Chicago.
Yeah.
I played that room a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's one of the only, major, for a long time it had been one of the only theaters in the South Suburban Northwest Indiana area. But over the last couple of years, there have been some other, smaller venues that have opened up. The Horseshoe Casino in Hammond has become a big draw for a lot of the acts that would exclusively go to Star Plaza before. But they say that to rebuild the theater there, put in all the new things that they need to put in, expand the seating that they would like to do, would be cost prohibitive and also not fit on the revised property site.
You know, it's too bad for the people of Merrillville because that drew a lot of people from here.
Saw some amazing shows there.
Yeah, first place I ever saw, Aretha Franklin.
I saw Aretha.
Is that right?
Franklin there. I saw Aretha Franklin there. Sammy Davis Jr. How about that?
Oh, that had to be cool.
Sammy Davis Jr.
I opened for Earth, Wind, and Fire there.
Oh,
like in the 90s.
I missed that show.
And they said, which one's the white guy? Yeah, because they couldn't tell.
Hard to tell.
You're going to be very jealous of this. I pounded drinks with Bobby Vinton backstage at the Star Plaza Theater.
Wow.
Dubonnet wine.
Dubonnet wine played as well?
No, Dubonnet. That's like sweet wine.
Oh, I thought there was a French guy that was on the bill.
We're doing it. It's like, hey, come on, let's do some shots with me. And we're doing, like, I'm doing shots of Dubonnet with Bobby Vinton.
What does Uma Paloma Blanca sound like when you're drunk?
Rock and roll, man.
The Rock update. This was Dean's favorite story of the day yesterday. I like when Dean identifies
still
his favorite story of the day.
Still is.
The Rock was furious with Vin Diesel. By the way, kids, not his real name.
It was.
With Vin Diesel.
Yesterday was just an undisclosed.
But we know it was Vin Diesel, don't
we? Well, today, it's that's what TMZ is saying, yes.
All right, so why was he upset with him?
Well, you know, they're in the last weeks of filming this Fast 8, their new version of...
God, I can't wait.
Fast Furious.
So different than Fast 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Actually, not terrible movies. They're actually kind of fun
movies.
Well,
you spend a lot of time in the dark.
That's very true. Last night I saw Sausage Party, so my new...
I don't know why you got to bring your personal life up. I mean, you know, this is... You know, we're talking about movies here.
All right, leave Sausage out of this.
Sausage Party is a new movie with...
It's a new movie that's opening tomorrow. Seth Rogen's dirty animated movie. It's his dirty animated movie.
What an artist.
Yeah. All I'm thinking is that Roger Ebert and Roy Leonard are spinning in their graves right
now. That's exactly right. They're pointing and laughing.
And again, I think of the final words that Roy Leonard told me as he finished his final show, walking out of the studio, shaking my hand, going, I'm so glad I don't have to see the crap that you have to go see anymore. Literally. That is absolutely no
exaggeration. And then he added, good luck, man.
Yeah, and then he drops the mic and,
right,
left,
and walked off.
And left the room.
Only Roy could.
So, so Dwayne The Rock Johnson on Facebook said that his female co-stars in the movie were very professional, very nice. Not so much his male co-stars. He called them unprofessional, called them a chicken blank, and candy ass.
And has Vin Diesel responded to this? By the way, not his real name.
So, yeah. So he has still not named who the one actor is of the male actors. But TMZ is reporting from a source that it indeed is Vin Diesel, as you and I speculated based strictly on rumor. And
our incredible show business knowledge.
Whatever makes for the juiciest story is usually what we go for. These guys apparently have been butting heads over production decisions. They're both producers on the movie. Yesterday, The Rock and Vin, not his real name, got together yesterday and met because tensions were so high on the set they couldn't finish the final scenes of the movie. And now the entire cast is mad at The Rock for stirring it up so much.
For screwing up the chemistry? Hey, man, the chemistry was so good with this.
You have ruined the plot arc of this movie.
You've even upset the cars.
So the guys met yesterday. There's no word on whether or not there's a resolution. I think they just sat there and flexed their muscles for each other. You know, The Rock likes to do that thing, you know, where he bounces his biceps, you know, where he just, like, flexes and unflexes.
Oh, he can go right boob, left boob.
And he does right boob, left boob also.
Yeah,
that is very true. Vin Diesel does right boob, left boob also, but in a whole different way. He is a right boob, left boob.
Yes,
he's a nice guy. So anyway, they met yesterday. We don't know what happened.
Coming back, Dean has more people stealing Marvin Gaye music.
This is a good one.
He talked to Robert Redford and a special appearance by Channel 9 Morning News superstar Mike Toomey. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. 8:24 now, back to Dean at Channel 9. All right, so Marvin Gaye and the plagiarism. This started with...
Blurred Lines.
Yeah, Blurred Lines. What was his name? Exactly. Blurred Lines.
What's his name? Son?
Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke.
And by the way, he's not dead, so I probably shouldn't have said what was his name. But anyway, there's a new one.
That's what his ex-wife is saying.
Who is... Boy, she's tremendous, by
the way. She is a gorgeous woman.
Who is stealing Marvin Gaye's music now?
Well, now the Marvin Gaye song, Let's Get It On, has become the subject.
Let's get it on.
I think we have a little of that. Let's hear a little of it.
Oh, you want to actually hear Marvin Gaye?
So we can compare the two songs, and then I'll play the one that is allegedly plagiarizing.
Here we go.
This is...
Nothing sexier at 8:25 in the morning than Let's Get It On.
This is the greatest song ever. So, yeah, this song...
very distinctive.
Very distinctive. Marvin Gaye's from 1973. It was co-written by Marvin Gaye and a guy named Ed Townsend.
Wow!
Who says that another song has stolen its melody, harmony, and rhythm composition.
Okay, who stole it?
The offender, allegedly, is British singer Ed Sheeran.
That little redheaded pacey dude?
And his song, Thinking Out Loud. This is what that sounds like.
It's honey, you're so... could never grow. Oh, it's evergreen.
I'm sorry.
Let's get it on.
You've got the same beat. No, the same
come
beat.
On. Are you kidding me?
Forever in my mind and memory.
Not, no. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to throw this one out of court. That's insane. Can you give me Marvin Gaye again? Give me a little Marvin Gaye again. This is Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On. And you tell me if it sounds like Ed Sheeran.
Trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
Think about you.
All right, now.
Sounds a little like
kill
it.
Kill that, and then give me a little. And then give me Ed Sheeran. We have the slowest equipment on the planet. This is not Mike's fault. It's just we have cassette machines are running on gasoline.
He has to crank up the phonograph and put it to 78 record.
This ain't Jake. This is the equipment. So whenever you're ready, Jake.
Honey, your soul could never grow. Oh, it's evergreen.
You can hear it a little bit, right?
But
Mostly, as Mary says, it's mostly just the slow beat.
Yeah, you know what I hear? Yeah. I hear it like I hear the Village People YMCA ripped off the Star Spangled Banner. I hear it that way.
Well, the co-writer of the song's family is suing for $20 million in royalties.
Oh, whatever. Throw it out of court.
One you play at a wedding, one you play at a pole dance.
Rod Blagojevich has a better chance of getting out of prison.
Baby, it's unbelievable. Get it on.
Dean also talked to Cat Stevens and Robert Redford. Did not talk to Cat Stevens. That's the point I wanted to make.
He's coming to the Oriental Theater on September 30th. Tickets are going to go on sale on Monday.
And
strange sound and loud, died on the beach.
Now sounds like Marvin Gaye.
That's Marvin Gaye.
This sounds like.
I'm asking Marvin Gaye's family to sue Cat Stevens immediately.
But his name isn't Cat Stevens anymore.
It is again. No. He changed it back.
Oh,
didn't he
did.
No. It's Yusuf Islam. It's still Yusuf Islam. But
it is.
But now he is. Now he's acknowledging that he was Cat Stevens for a while. When he first converted to become a Muslim, he wouldn't even acknowledge his past. And I got to say, I mean, that's to say that someone is Muslim now or Islam. You know, is such a volatile word. But he truly has since he converted. Has dedicated his life to charity and education and kept a low profile.
Leave him alone.
But now he's acknowledging that he did have this past called Cat Stevens and is singing his old songs again in concert.
Well, cats have nine lives, so what the heck?
Look what you did there.
Look at that.
Dean talked to Robert Redford. That part I got right.
I'll have the full interview on Sunday. But do you want to hear from Robert Redford or do you want to hear from Mike Toomey?
Toomey.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, Mike Toomey, absolutely. Mike Toomey joins us as well. And Mike, how are you?
Hang on just a moment, because we have the same equipment that you have for music.
Tribune Media, 1987 lives.
Here's a little trivia. I opened for Al Jarreau at the Holiday Star. Mike Toomey opened for Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yes, I did.
I think my Earth, Wind, and Fire story wins.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on the radio.
Hi, Mikey. How are you?
Good, guys.
Nice
how are you?
To talk to you. Friday night, Mike, you and I, we should have probably told you about this before now.
Yes.
But
what's going on?
Friday night, Mike, you and I are going to be where? With John? Right? John, where are we going to be?
We're going to be at Bell Sal Banquets in Aurora.
And where is that?
Bell Sal Banquets is on New York Avenue in Aurora. And all you have to do is go to their website, bellsalbanquets.com, and you'll get... a little link, and you'll click on that to buy tickets. $20 to see the three of us, to meet Steve Cochran and Mike Toomey.
Be very funny, and it'll be a very funny show, and you get to go home with John. And, Mike, are you still doing the thing with the giant sledgehammer and the watermelon?
I am doing that, yes. And I was going to do some Marvin Gaye songs, but...
I wouldn't recommend it legally.
That's what happens when you go first.
It's exactly right. How are you? Because the show looks great. Every morning at 9, I've got the show on, and Mike's on the entire 9 o'clock hour, and I can't hear a word you're saying because I'm talking.
Sure. And I enjoy your moments with Dean every morning because I sit right across from him. And you guys were talking about Bobby Vinton.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with Bobby Vinton?
Dean and Bobby Vinton got drunk at the Star Plaza Theater.
I have a very good Bobby Vinton story. I opened up for Bobby Vinton, right? And at the what was then the Holiday Star Plaza. And his manager, I was wearing like a sport coat, you know, just like, you know, how you dress on stage.
Yeah.
And the manager comes out and he looks at me like you can see his eyes going up and down, right? They go, this is the opener. He's like, you're going to wear a suit, right? And I said, well, I was probably just going to wear this. And then he goes, okay, no F word, no Polish jokes, and walks away. First off, there goes my first 10 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm out.
Right.
This is the difference between show business and conversations that take place at Microsoft.
But the guy was such, I'm sure he's not Bobby's manager anymore, but the guy was like such a jerk. Like at the end of the day, he was arguing with Bobby Vinton about how long it would take to get to O'Hare from Merrillville. And Bobby Vinton's like, it's a half hour. This guy's like, I'm telling you, Bobby, it's an hour. It's at least it's an hour and 50. And they're fighting and fighting. And the guy is such a jerk. Like, I walk by and Bobby Vinton goes, hey, how far is it to O'Hare from here? And I'm like, it's about a half hour.
And then Bobby Vinton murdered him. I think we all remember that part of the story.
And the actual smoke came out of the guy's ears. So, I'm telling you, it's not a half an hour.
That's the kind of manager you want to hire, a guy that fights with you. Especially right before you go on stage.
Yep.
Well, Bobby Vinton will not be there Friday night, but Mike, listen, this is the part Mike Toomey can't hear.
Wait a minute, or will he?
Hey, John, you and I both agree on this.
Oh, God, I know where you're going with this.
Mike Toomey is the best stand-up comedian, period. There's
hands
nobody
down.
Better. Nobody better.
Hands down.
Nobody
I'm
better.
One of his biggest fans.
Now.
I've known him. We started together, and I still...
Yeah, so if you've never had the opportunity, it's a great opportunity to see Mike live and see if we're right, and you know we are.
I mean, he's not funny.
Just
no.
When I tried stand-up, my mom came up to me after the show. She said, oh, my God, Mike Toomey was the best one.
Yeah.
I said, well, what about me? She went, oh, you were number two. And then I said, what about John DeCosta? I'm trying to get you here. And she said,
too.
Well, John was
Thanks
the MC.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's
everything was
By the way, I was on that bill as well.
Yeah.
So come out and see me and see John DeCosta and stay long enough to see Mike Toomey. We'll have a great time. Where do we get tickets?
Bell Cell Banquets. BellCellBanquets.com. Click on the link. That's for Eventbrite. $20 to see us, or go to Steve Cochran Show Facebook.
That's right, the Facebook.com Steve Cochran Show page. Mikey, have fun. We'll see you Friday.
Hey, and during the Q&A afterward, I'm going to tell the story about Engelbert Humperdinck's manager. So,
oh, good, sweet. Good. Show business manager stories.
Yes, we're a whole book.
Well, we're going to have to charge more than $20. It's all a Nice Man production. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Now, you wouldn't believe it if I told you.
But I could run like the wind blows. From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
Forrest Gump at this point not entered in the Chicago Marathon. But Dr. Philip Skiba could help him if he was director of sports medicine for Advocate Health Care at the Chicago Marathon. Couple of months away still, but as everybody's prepping and preparing for the big race, aches and pains aplenty, I'm sure. Good morning, doctor.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So I asked you out the air, knees, hips, thighs, whatever. If it hurts, you've probably seen it.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, it gets more and more as the marathon gets closer and closer.
People training correctly, or does it just come with the territory?
People training correctly and incorrectly end up with issues, but there's a lot of people who are training incorrectly.
What is the correct way to train?
Slowly.
Build up.
Build up slowly. You know, this is not the time of year to say, you know what, I'm going to do the Chicago Marathon and spend a two-month build up where you're going to almost certainly get hurt trying to build up the kind of mileage you need.
What's realistic? And for people that are in the middle of it, it may be redundant to them. But is this a six-month run-up as far as training goes? And
if you're already sort of a runner, 6 months is more than reasonable. If you've never done any running before, I tell people you need a year or even more to really build up.
The thing that always threw me off, you know, when people talk about marathons is you don't run the full distance. You train to a certain amount, but you don't run the full distance until race day. And I would think the first time you do the marathon, that's nuts.
No, it's really not a big deal. You see, if you've built up your endurance to the point that you can run 18, 19, 20 miles, you're going at such an easy pace that really adding that extra 6 miles is not a big deal at all. And the people who run the marathon distance multiple times in training are the people who have often a terrible race.
Because they've overtrained.
Exactly.
Okay. What's the wall? Is that a real thing?
Yeah. So the wall is an interesting phenomenon. What that is when the muscle, basically the running muscles, run out of something called glycogen or stored carbohydrates. That's why you need to drink Gatorade, for example. And that happens often around the 18 to 20 mile mark and pretty repeatedly so.
And you see all these things that are available now, these energy blocks, these things to replace it, these chews and various things you can do. What do you like? What do you not like? What is medicine like?
So the important thing is getting the carbohydrate in, 60 to 90 grams per hour. It doesn't matter the form you use as long as you can tolerate it. You know, the big issue is that people find some new formula. This is going to make me super fast. Number one, it won't. Number two is if it causes some stomach upset or other things, you're going to have a problem on the race. You don't do anything during the race that you didn't do in training first.
So it's got to be what works for you.
Absolutely.
Dave, I heard that Michael Phelps ate a pound of pasta to prepare for last night's race. A pound.
I would believe that.
Pound of pasta.
I mean, he swam two races last night.
Yeah, and he's a 31-year-old guy, mm-hmm. and that's old for athletes who are doing what he's doing. We always hear about carbo-loading the mm-hmm. night before a race. That the right thing to do?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the one thing that is indispensable in the race is carbohydrates.
But loading meaning the night before, your body doesn't burn that off in that short period of time?
No, it certainly doesn't. So it takes. So after you do a big workout, it takes almost 24 hours to fully replete your carbohydrate stores. So the idea is that you want to make sure the last thing you do before the big race is get as much on board as you can to ensure that the tank is sort of as topped up as it can be before the race.
And couldn't you tell, Steve? I mean, he kind of, when you looked at him,
that's why I thought he had a propeller on his butt.
Everyone you interview on race day says the ideal conditions are if it's a little bit cooler, not, in the 30s, obviously, but if it's a little bit cooler. So how do you train on days like, say, today where it's going to be 92?
Take a car?
Yeah, a two-week span where temperatures are, in the 90s and humidity is 100.
Yeah, so it really, a lot depends on your personal ability. Some people do well in the heat and some people don't. But in fact, there is some evidence that training in the heat has more impact on the body than training in cooler conditions. So number one, it's not unreasonable to do at least some training in the heat. And number two, if you think it's going to be hot on race day, like it was in Chicago several years ago, if you are not acclimated for that, you're going to have a really bad day. So it's not unreasonable to try it from time to time.
Among the new gimmicks I've seen recently are these oxygen-restricting face masks.
The nonsense.
They are nonsense.
They're total nonsense.
Yeah, so just another gimmick.
Exactly.
All right. So if you want to get your cardiovascular endurance up, you just need to do more reps or do longer of what you're doing?
Correct. There's two ways of doing it. You can do a lot of long training. The problem with that is it creates quite a bit of wear and tear on the body. If you do more sort of interval type training, where you run real hard for a couple minutes, then a little bit easier for a couple of minutes, we find that has a manyfold impact on the human body over just standard, very easy running.
Dave, thought?
If you are going to run a marathon, do you need to go out and spend a couple $100 on a pair of shoes to make sure that you're getting proper equipment?
No, that's totally a counter that's been around for years, mostly from shoe companies. The correct shoes are the shoes that fit and work for you. And in fact, when we look at the research, we find that expensive shoes are no more likely to get you hurt or not hurt than relatively cheap shoes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So again, it's what works for you?
Correct.
But how do you avoid all the stress fractures? I mean, that's from the shoes, right? I mean, you really have to have those good pair of shoes to...
No. So interestingly, stress fractures are an overuse injury. It's from doing too much, too soon, too quickly. And so if you build up more than, say, 5 to 10% per week, it's that wear and tear that can eventually result in sort of a stress injury. Your muscles adapt to exercise in a period of weeks, but your bones and tendons and things take many months to adapt. So if you train even if you're training reasonably well, you may find that you end up with a Ferrari engine and sort of a Volkswagen body.
All right, I'm going to ask you a tough question as a doctor here, Dr. Skiba.
Lay it on me.
I've talked to many people who are marathon organizers because I train to watch the marathon, not actually compete in
it. Well
done. But marathon organizers have told me one of the bigger problems is people that don't accept this is not their year and they're not ready. In other words, you've gone through the training. Maybe you've been injured a couple of times. Maybe just tell yourself, I'm going to tough it out. Is there such a thing as toughing it out when it comes to the marathon?
It's not a terribly good idea. Part of the issue is that the body, there is no shortcut with the body. And there is no, the secret is that there is no secret. You got to put in the training. And even people who do put in the training occasionally have a bad day. You've seen in years past and I trained some of the best marathon runners in the world. And you've seen people have really bad days at the Olympics, for example. They end up walking. It's just the way it goes sometimes. And the thing to do is not to tough it out. The thing to do is stop and come back another day, because all those extra miles that you're trying to tough out, you may cause damage that may take months or years to undo.
So if you're training leading up to the marathon and you're continuing to not meet your training goals, or if you're continuing to have pains you didn't have before, maybe you don't, you set this one out.
Pain, you definitely don't push through that. You know, discomfort is one thing, pain is another. But the other question is, do you need to revise your goal? You know, I very often have to have what I like to call the come to Jesus talk with athletes who come in and say, no, I'm going to run, you know, this certain pace for a marathon. And I say, well, I'm looking at your training log. You've never run that fast for 10K. What makes you think you can do it for the marathon?
Because I'm different.
Right.
I'm better.
Right.
I know athletes have to train, obviously, in the elements, too. But in Chicago, when it gets really cold and you're running, are you a fan of the treadmill and the elliptical? I know different doctors differ on.
Yeah, so the treadmill is honestly fine. It's not a big deal at all. The elliptical is more of an issue. And in fact, there has been some evidence that the elliptical may lead to more injuries because it's putting your body through an unusual sort of running cycle.
Is that right? Because everybody, you're talking about using the ellipticals training for running.
Right, or just in general, you know.
Because it's supposed to be better for guys with bad knees like me.
Oh, sure. It's less impact. But, you know, there's no free lunch. So while we're being nicer to your knees, we may be being worse on, say, your Achilles tendon or hamstring for that matter.
Right. Right. That's why I've hired someone to just come in and pump my legs for me as I lay on my back and eat a sandwich. Dr. Philip Skiba, Director of Sports Medicine for Advocate Healthcare. You're great for information. I hope we can bug you again before the marathon.
Anytime. Glad to be here.
You got a website you want to throw out?
AdvocateHealth.com.
AdvocateHealth.com. There you go. And we'll come back. We have more of those Olympic highlights. Yeah, let's talk about 1980. Why 1980? Because we've come across this archive, this treasure trove of highlights from the 1980 games. You're saying, hold on, Steve. Hold on. 1980, we didn't go to the games.
No, the United States did not participate. It was in Moscow. Yeah.
It was in Moscow, and President Carter said, because it was a run-up, because the Russians invaded Afghanistan, we're not going to go. Yeah. Turns out one athlete did, and turns out Dave Ennett was there as a young broadcaster.
That's how I got the gig. No one else went.
Unbelievable. Now, you covered a young gymnast.
Yes, I did.
An American
mm-hmm.
who decided to compete in the games. Do you remember his name?
John DeCoss.
John DeCoss.
Yeah.
This is before you were a comedian.
This is before I did comedy. Yeah, I was the lone representative for the United States
in Moscow.
Were in Moscow.
Well, I don't want to you know, take anything away from this highlight. So, this is gymnastics highlights. This is a particular event.
I believe this was the rings during the apparatus.
The rings, yeah, yes. Part of the apparatus portion of the apparatus. More than one apparatus to be an apparatus,
yeah.
Or maybe it's less. Here is Dave Ennett on the call from 1980. Listen.
Oh my goodness! Where is Bruce Dumont?
I told you these were old tapes.
These are fat.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
The cassette tape broke. All right, no, here we go. Listen.
Back here at the Sports Palace, John DeCoss will go for gold now in gymnastics. He's the U.S. best hope for gold in gymnastics. He's the U.S. only hope for gold in gymnastics. He's the only American here. He did okay on the pommel horse. Struggled a bit with the parallel bars. Now the rings. And wait a minute. He appears to be having trouble reaching the rings. And this is unprecedented. I've never seen this. They're lowering the rings so John can reach them. Oh, somebody give John a boost.
Wow. Well, John, that is a little disappointing. I know you had problems with your floaties during the swimming event. Didn't you have a floating flamingo on you or something?
A swan.
I didn't think they'd be that high. And I remember that day specifically because I had bonded with another country, Nauru, I think it's called.
Yeah,
Nauru.
Yeah, they make the jackets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had two representatives, and the guy that I was a friend with who was trying to tell me, his name was and we had talked to.
Was that his first name or his last name?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I honestly don't know.
All right.
I just called him.
Well, you knew him better than we did.
Right. And, but he was trying to give me some advice on how to do the rings because I didn't know.
By the way, John, as you may have noticed, had no marks on his body at all. That's because he was doing paper cupping and the cup kept collapsing. Yeah. But it was 1980. It was a different time. Now, you did an interview?
I did an interview right afterwards.
I don't know if you guys will even remember this, John. You may not even remember what you said. Roll it.
All right, here with John DeCoss. John, it appeared you had some trouble with the rings.
I've actually never been on them. I thought I was going to toss them. I did not know that, you know, that I was going to have to swing from them. And they're way high. They are way high, Dave.
But you did okay on the pommel horse.
Pommel horse was good. I laid across it most of the time. I found it very relaxing. I could not swing my leg, but I got through it. My timing was good, so I was pretty pumped. I was pretty pumped, Dave.
There's a lot of mumbling in the background. People seem to be quite confused by what they were seeing.
Can you blame them?
No, I really can't. We'll take a break, come back. Still to come, more highlights from 1980. John DeCoste, only American competing in the 80 Summer Games in Moscow, as we're all wrapped up with Olympic fever. Apparently mine's a little worse than others. My Olympic fever may need to be checked by a doctor. News is next at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Ooh, yeah. 913, this is show number 710. Do you guys know that? 710 shows.
You missed the big 700 party.
What about that? Somebody just sent me Robert Feeder's column, the Robert Feeder blog. Story about the ratings.
Yeah.
Big ratings on this show. Thank you again to the listeners.
You're welcome.
That's right. You are a listener, aren't you? Yeah. John DeCoste is here. John, before we get to our guests, could you update us on how your YouTube channel is doing?
YouTube is going really well. We just added two new clips.
Yeah. How many do you have total? Do you know?
36.
36 mini movies
mini
and
movies.
Clips.
Yeah.
We started this a while ago when I found out there was a guy who made $14 million last year
right.
as a YouTube artist by having people watch him play video games.
Right.
And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I thought of you.
Yeah.
And I thought, if we could just have you do as many YouTube clips as possible, you could get YouTube famous and maybe leave the show, which is mutually beneficial to both of us. So you've done YouTube clips for a while.
36, and it's cost me a little over $148.
Yeah, which is certainly worth the money.
So,
and who's your photographer for these? Principal photography?
Christy Vaccari.
Yeah, she's out of jail.
She's out of jail now.
Oh, good, 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 good.
So we use her all the time.
All right, so what type of stuff do we see on your YouTube channel?
The last one was Life Socks.
Life Socks.
Life Socks, S-O-C-K-S.
Yeah.
And then Voices in My Head, I think, was the other one.
Right.
And
what would you say your top getters are, the ones that people always want to go back and see?
Well, it's funny. We were just talking before, Christy's son, Frankie, we did the Lego.
This is you playing with Legos?
Yeah. We're building Legos, and he builds his in about 1 second.
Right.
And it was a Millennium Falcon.
Right. And yours didn't go so well?
Mine fell apart in my hands.
You made fun of the fact that I was preoccupied with having you do a video of you making toast. Now, let me explain it. It's because I can think of nothing more mind-numbing than watching another human being make toast online.
Right.
And I thought, if you're making toast, well, this could be the key to your internet success. Did you ever do the toast video?
We did the toast video. Oh. We did the toast video with Isla, Christy's daughter, and their dog Shirley, who on one take...
By the way, what a great name for a dog.
Is that incredible? Yeah. And Shirley's birthday 2 days ago. So
happy birthday,
Shirley, in the house.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and
Andrea's birthday is tomorrow.
Yes.
Same as my son Christopher.
Oh, that's good.
And Mark Carmen.
And Mark Carmen.
And Steve Grzanich's dog.
Edward Rover Murrow.
All right, stop,
Edward who?
This was mine and Christopher's
day. This all started with Andrea's birthday, and it's devolved into Grzanich's dog.
Well, we're competing. I've invited everybody to Murrow's surprise party, and everybody wants to go to her birthday party. I don't get it.
I know.
So anyway, Andrea's birthday.
He can come to mine, to my surprise party.
But in one take, Shirley took the toast.
Shirley,
the dog, in one take. We laughed so hard. She took the toast from me, ran out of the room. It was incredible.
Dog's a good actor.
Dog is incredible. Now she's union, and we can't afford her.
Yeah, I understand that. So if you want to see all of your YouTube individual clips or all of them collectively, by the way, if I watch all of them, how much time would it take?
Oh, my, it's got to be like at least 8 minutes.
Okay, I've got that kind of time.
You can binge watch them.
You are going to sit there for 8 minutes and watch, really?
Well, in 4 2-minute chunks.
Right.
Yeah, over the course of 3 months.
This is the guy on the phone. He's like, yeah. Okay, bye.
Look, I got a lot to do. All right, so where do we find you?
On YouTube, Today Into Cause.
Today Into Cause. How are we spelling today? How are we spelling DeCoz?
D-A-C.
It's D-A-C-O-S-S-E.
That's it. D-A-C. That's my name. I should know that.
Please introduce our guest.
Oh, this is actually kind of cool. This is Dana Bowman. I've never said your last name, so that I get to say that.
You said it correctly.
That was, yes, I've been prompted by several people, actually. So Dana Bowman, who owns Belle Salle, and her lovely friend Mary Jo came with her today.
And Mary Jo has asked not to go on the air. She said she would punch me.
Yeah, I don't. That was really specific.
Yeah. All right, so Dana, as I understand it, you and your husband started this Belle Salle?
No.
Your husband,
wow.
Mark Carmen?
No, I actually have a partner who is a male, but we are not husband
okay.
and wife.
Okay, and you started this banquet facility kind of on the edge of Aurora and Naperville.
That's correct. We're in Naperville, we're in Aurora right off of New York Street between Eola and Farnsworth.
Between Eola and Farnsworth. So that's like if you got off on 59 and you got off on New York Ave, it's halfway to Eola.
That's correct.
Oh, see? Yeah, okay. Smarter than I look. And what type of business? Weddings, that type of thing?
Everything. Weddings. We have birthday parties. We actually had a high school reunion. Right. And this will be our first comedy show, so we're pretty excited about that.
So we're kind of the guinea pigs.
You are.
Yeah, and we've known each other. This is kind of a little backstory here, but there are six of us that we call them the Kindergarten Club.
Oh, you were
Dana,
part of this club?
Yeah, I was part of it. Dana, Christy, Janelle, Debbie,
yes,
and Kelly,
yes,
and myself. And we went, we did everything. We went through Palms. We went through high school where we measured boobs. I mean, we did it all.
Yes, you did it all. That's fantastic.
And that was all in my basement, so I hope my mom's listening. Those were all
things. Didn't your mom always wonder why the goofy tall guy was there?
Probably looking in the window.
Right. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Back then, I was Helen.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your change.
Thanks.
So we are inviting people to come out and see us Friday night. Mike Toomey,
yes.
You and me.
Yes.
Tell you to get tickets in a second, but plenty of parking.
Plenty of parking.
All the annoyances of city venues, you don't have any of them.
I'm sure we have some.
No.
It'll be great.
Have you seen the facility? Have you gone by there? Because I went there and it blew me away. It's onto itself. It's like it's all there. There's nothing around. It's this beautiful place and all this park. It's phenomenal.
About 6.5 acres.
Yeah.
Good for you. Now, what got you into this business?
Well, that's a really long story, but we've been in the restaurant.
Give me the short version.
Well, okay. We've been in the restaurant bar business for about 33 years, my parents have, and we were closing one location and looking to get into something else. So we like this business a little bit more. The money's all up front.
Okay. This is you and the guy that you're married to that you don't want to
admit? Yeah. No. Keith and I are not married. Yeah, we get that question a lot. So my parents invested as well, so I'm kind of protecting their investment and carrying on the tradition.
And where are mom and dad?
They're local.
Okay.
They still participate.
I was going to say, how many times did they come over and go, you sure you want to do a comedy show? You sure
actually,
you want to do a show with Steve Cochran? I've seen this guy.
Well, John has met my mom, so she could
good
probably...
Good Lord, we're a full-service operation.
Yeah, she could probably get up there and say a few jokes herself.
She is hysterical.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Well, we love stories of great small businesses getting it done.
That's right.
That's why I wanted to invite you down.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, and so people got weddings or whatever coming up?
What? Anything. We have a great website, bellsalbanquets.com. You can also email us at info at bellsalbanquets.com. So we're there every day. So anytime, any questions, email us.
Yeah,
that would be great.
It's nice. And also, there's a little banner right on top where you can click to order tickets for Friday night.
That's correct.
Right. For our little link to go to Eventbrite and click and boom.
And on our website as well. We have
That's what I mean on your website. Yeah,
Yes.
A link to that. A nice man production. Did you give her the list of what we need?
I did. The other thing I wanted to let you know, the money was not up front with us.
Right,
so,
You know, well, I got to know
skating.
You very well.
We plan on skating.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know that thing where I like to be invited, but I don't actually show up.
Right, right.
Careful, Mary Jo's very... She's very strong, remember?
Yeah. What actually do you do for the operation?
I'm the bartender.
You're the bartender.
I am.
What's your best drink?
That I like to drink.
That you make.
That I serve.
No, what you're drinking on your own time is none of my business. What's your specialty?
I would say a margarita.
All right, so margaritas for everybody during
margaritas
the break.
Margaritas for everybody.
During the break.
That sounds reasonable.
Everybody gets you get a pre-birthday margarita.
That's right.
I'm ready.
Grzanich's dog's going to have one. We're back after this. It's 921 and 720 WGN. Some great text today. By the way, I abandoned my terrific idea of the Lazy Listener Olympics because everybody on the show just didn't want to participate.
Well, we would have
not true.
Maybe
you guys mocked me.
Thought about
mocked
it.
Me openly.
Not openly.
Yeah, we did it behind your back.
Well, we still have the prizes to give away. So
yeah, like normal people.
Yeah, that's the way it normally works. Dexter from the 312. Steve, I'd give anything to see John DeCoste do some cupping, or as we used to call it when I was a kid, purple nurpling. And, Steve, it's important for you to know this. My mother's name is Shirley. This is what the listeners are bringing.
Wow.
They're bringing it. Yeah. As we mentioned, we have some highlights from the 1980 Summer Games. We're all really stunned, I think, at what a great start the Americans have had in this seemingly troubled Rio Summer Games. By the way, sweet logo. The Rio Olympics logo?
Yeah, it's pretty,
yeah.
Cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. What's the swimmer dude's name?
Phelps,
is it?
Michael Phelps.
Yeah. Michael Phelps, he could win a total of how many golds by the time this is done?
He could win three. He's won three. He could win three more.
So 24 in all.
He's
at 21
yes,
now.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And have we seen a picture of him with the 21 on?
He's bent over. It's weighing him
I would out. Bet, right? Yeah. Right. And each gold, somebody told me once, but I forgot. How much is a gold medal worth?
John?
I didn't get a gold medal.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got a participation ribbon.
However, you were in the 1980 Moscow Games. And this is an amazing thing.
And gold was a different price then.
Yes, it was. And Dave was a young broadcaster calling it. We have more highlights of John DeCoste at the 1980 Summer Games in Moscow.
Welcome to Lenin Stadium for track and field. John DeCoste will represent the United States of America in the pole vault. All right, DeCoste ready. He's got the pole. Here is the approach. He's on his way. He's about to attempt the vault. He stops. He plants. He launches high into the night sky. And he cleared the bar. The 3-foot bar cleared by DeCoste here in Moscow.
That's wow. Very exciting. I mean, especially considering the way he struggled with his floaties and swimming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not being able to reach the rings in gymnastics. This is a real victory.
That was the highlight, I think.
Here is the post-interview that Dave did. Again, we go back to 1980.
John, great attempt on the pole vault, but you know that 3 feet isn't really all that high by Olympic standards.
Well, here's the thing. I was under a little pressure. They gave me a choice of a stick. I took a pool cue. Pool cue is about 5 feet high. I told him to lower it down. I just knew what I could do. I knew what I was capable of doing, and I did it.
You stayed within yourself.
I stayed within myself. Not to be cliche, but I stayed within myself. Go flock of seagulls.
That would have been the 80 reference, go flock of seagulls.
Get it? I ran.
Again, Dave, great work by you. John was there. Great work by you. And we have one other highlight coming up before 10 o'clock as we found this treasure trove of the only American at the 1980 Summer Games competing.
Go flock of seagulls.
How much for the gold medal? What's the value?
Right now, a 2016 gold medal, $25,000, $15,000 for silver and $10,000 for bronze. However, the American athletes are taxed on their prize, on their medal. $9,900 in taxes.
Well, if I'm Michael Phelps, I'm putting those bad boys on eBay immediately.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
How about that whole, deal?
Oh, 941. Thank you for listening. As always, if you're new to the show, I'm not a big Donald Trump fan. I don't know if I've made that clear. I'm not a big Hillary Clinton fan either, but, call me old-fashioned. I think advocating the assassination of your opponent probably is not cool. Here's Donald Trump yesterday in a speech. Listen to what he said closely, and you tell me.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Now, Trump's defense of that doesn't work on a number of different levels. Here's Trump defending what he said.
Nobody in that room thought anything other than what you just said. This is a political movement. This is a strong, powerful movement, the Second Amendment. You know, Hillary wants to take your guns away. She wants to leave you unprotected in your home. This is a tremendous political movement. The NRA, as you know, endorsed me. They're terrific people, Wayne and Chris and all of the people over there. And by the way, they've already, I just saw, they tweeted out, basically, they agree 100% with what I said. And there can be no other interpretation. Even reporters have told me. I mean, give me a break.
Look, the fact that we're analyzing the dumpster fire between his ears is you know, it's a pain anyway. But if you got to listen to him again, Jake, I got to ask you to play the actual speech again. Okay, his defense is the NRA folks and Second Amendment folks are a strong political movement. Okay, if that's what he meant, then why does he say, and a listener pointed this out by text, if that's what he sent, then why does he say, ooh, that would be a horrible day? In other words, if what I believe he said was advocating the assassination of Hillary Clinton, oh, but that would be a bad day. If it's a great day because the Second Amendment political movement that is this country, his defense, why would that be a horrible day? All right, his words. Listen.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Okay. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. If that's his defense, why is that a horrible day?
And if he thinks it's cute advocating the assassination of someone in something as intense as politics, if you don't think there's at least a handful of knuckleheads out there who don't think that's Donald Trump's marching orders to them, you just put the Secret Service in harm's way, you just put the candidate in harm's way, and you just created a world of problems. So the Secret Service ought to crawl way up his butt today. Mm-hmm. Because that's their job and that's what they should be doing. And now, whether or not we'll know about it is another story.
There's no excuse for
that. It's absolutely outrageous. Well, he's getting defended. Former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, on the defense of Trump.
They spin out that what he meant by that was that it was a joke, and that what he meant by that was that they would kill her. Now, okay. Now, to buy that, you have to be corrupt. Because if you said that to me, I would say to you, are you out of your mind? I saw it. I heard it. I know what it meant.
Do you? Because it seemed like you were trying to find the words, Mayor, while you were coming up with the excuse. Paul Ryan, who won his primary battle yesterday in Wisconsin, not a big surprise, had this to say about Trump's latest Trumpism.
I heard about this Second Amendment quote. It sounds like just a joke gone bad. I hope he clears it up very quickly. You should never joke about something like that. In times as uncertain as these, it is easy to resort to division. It's simple to prey on people's fears. That stuff sells, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't last. Most of all, it doesn't work.
I don't disagree with anything he said, and clearly Ryan hadn't heard this specific quote, but when he did, I'd be curious to hear what he said then. But in the end, Republican Duncan Hunter, a Republican from California, and a pretty strict one, here's his defense of Donald Trump. And he's supporting him. This is Duncan Hunter on Donald Trump. This is the man that you are wanting to elect as the next president of the United States if you're a Trump supporter. Listen.
You're treating his words like he is the most articulate person who's ever graced our ears with his words. And that is not true. He is not a politician. He is not a person like you who's very articulate, very well spoken. He's a business person who's running for president. So I don't think that the way that he said that and the sequence of his statements, I'm not going to judge him on that because I don't think that's what he meant. And I think that he can be inarticulate at times.
Well, then let's hire him. It's 9:47. Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN.
When a smile hits your face, laughter fills up the space. That's Steve Cochran. Come on out to Bell Sal, Aurora West, Naperville for the show.
Yep, it's Friday night. It is a Iceman production.
Yes.
She got the name of the company. Friday night, and you can go to the Bell Cell website again, which is what, John?
BellCellBanquets.com. Click on the link that says for Eventbrite. $20 to see Mike Toomey from WGN in the morning, Steve Cochran.
Wait, $20.
$20 is nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's nothing. You didn't talk to me about it.
Oh,
normally we charge hundreds of dollars
little.
For this. I mean, the last show we did, we charged over $5,000 a ticket.
Yeah, and two people showed up, but we made cash.
That was my mom and a friend.
Yeah. Why did you make
and by the way,
pay?
She never paid.
Oh.
It's going to be a good night, Friday night, and we look forward to you being. What time's the show Friday night?
7:30.
That seems
7:30. But you're going to have hors d'oeuvres before. So
can we dial that back a little bit? Maybe 2 p.m. I get tired.
Oh no, that's okay. Are you golfing on Friday?
There's a decent chance.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, it's Friday night at 7:30.
I guess we're not playing.
Oh boy. Oh, you know what? I've got one more highlight. I got one more highlight from the 1980 Summer Games. I don't want to make this all about John because really it's all about Dave. Dave Ennett. What? Did you have a job before you did the Olympics call here that you're about to hear?
No, not really.
So you went right out of Northwestern. Mm-hmm. You had the opportunity to cover the 80 Summer Games. Mm-hmm. I understand you're actually on the flight to Moscow when President Carter instituted the ban that the Americans would not be going.
I was already there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
Because you're a guy that does his prep.
Yes.
So you're there covering it, and you find out there's one lone American. By the way, Tom Hanks will be playing John in the movie. Mm-hmm. One lone American there at the games competing.
Yes.
We've already heard clips this morning of John DeCoste competing. But this one, I'm not
familiar. This one I had forgotten about. And I'm going through some stuff in my basement, and I found this one.
It was incredible. Roll it.
This should be a great event in the equestrian competition here in Moscow. John DeCoste is ready to ride in this event. DeCoste is on his horse and ready for the start. Now wait, DeCoste has gotten off the horse. He's talking to the horse. And now the horse takes off and the horse is running on its own and DeCoste is chasing after him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not good for the United States.
I'm not entirely sure what happened there, but whatever John said to the horse seemed to upset the horse.
It did. It did. Yeah. And I still never really got an explanation.
You didn't get a chance to talk to him after that?
Well, I did, but, well.
Listen, here's the post-game interview.
John, you really hadn't trained for the equestrian at all, had you?
I got to be honest with you. I thought equestrian meant bike riding, so I was a little surprised when I got there. I don't know that much about horses. I know that they talk. I've seen TV, so I got off the horse. I wanted to talk to him. Her, I don't know what it was. I couldn't really see from that angle, and it just left.
What did you say to the horse?
Well, I just said, listen, if we don't win, you're going to be dinner.
You know, that might not have been the most sensitive thing you could have said at that moment.
But we've had a lot of boiled meat since I've been here and a lot of turnips and stuff, so I thought maybe he would be dinner.
So you were kind of hoping in a weird way. Yeah. So. Great work by you, Dave. Great work by you, John.
Dave Ennett and Mike Jacobson get all the. Yeah.
No, I'm just thrilled that there was no TV coverage of that because I think that would have been painful.
We have video clips. You want to see them?
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's 9:56. We're back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.